Hello.
And welcome to another episode of From the Lower Level. I'm your host, Moshi.
And I'm Patrizio, an ideal in fact, not friction.
Was not expecting that. But you know what? Like, of all the taglines that you have appropriated, that is the one that suits you the most.
Thank you. I mean, look. I often get asked if Gina Liano is related to me in some way. We have the same energy. It's a vibe.
So you get asked if Gina Liano is related to you, not if you're related to Gina Liano.
Yes.
Who asks you this? I have never asked you this.
Well, not you, obviously.
Just random people while you're walking down the street. Is it because your hair is so big?
I could basically be the fourth Liano sister at this point.
Wouldn't surprise me.
They should have done a show. Anyway, I digress.
We both do. What's going on? What's the word on the street, Patty Cakes?
The word on the street. We're going to do a lightning round word on the street this week. We're going to have no comments. Well, I mean, you can make a quick comment, but like, it's just toot or boot this news. So word on the street. So let's start off first. Housewives of New York. I mean, this is the meatiest news of the week. It started off as the leaked news that Ramona was being fired at the end of the season. Then it turned into the reunions being postponed because Ramona's refusing to attend because she's like, if I'm not going to be asked back, I'm definitely not going to go to the reunion because she's worried about the optics. And now they're talking about a full cast shakeup. I mean, somebody is leaking the news. Nobody is happy. I don't know what's going on, but we all know New York is a hot mess right now and it needs to be sorted. But it's Ramona and Leah in the hot seat. That's how I feel right now.
Am I allowed? I don't know if I'm allowed to comment or not.
I'm giving you like 15 seconds.
As somebody who has been quite harsh about Leah this season, I am reserving my right to say that she should have another season because I do think that like two seasons is not enough. And I just think that they need more people on the cast. Like we need the Heather Thompsons and the Carol Rads as well. It's like, we need like another group. So there needs to be like another group. That's it. That's it. That's all I'm saying. Bye.
Ratsville.
And all you have to say is Ratsville. Okay, next, Lightning McQueen. Let's go.
I mean, Atlanta is also going through a cast shakeup at the moment.
Same.
But you know what? Apparently, Drew's not coming back. Apparently, Portia is really considering her peach at the moment.
Portia can go.
Well, I think they can all go at this point. Like, they've already started filming, so the fact that they haven't even confirmed, like, a single peach holder at this point, I do not understand what's going on.
It's actually wild to me because of all the places that they should have no issues casting, Atlanta. But at the same time, Atlanta has, at like, 700 reality shows happening at any one time. So, you know, but they've got a slew of you know, black celebrities. There's black celebrities to choose from.
Well, thank you for clarifying black celebrities, but
I wasn't sure if you understood.
It's been a rough week, I know. But apparently Sheree is potentially back on the card.
Oh yeah, bring Sheree back.
As is Marlo. Apparently Marlo is, you know, this is her moment to get her peach because
you know how I feel about Marlo. She can go.
Moving right along, a woman is suing Lisa Vanderpump because she got worms from Vanderpump dogs. They were coming out of her anus, her vagina, her mouth, everywhere. I didn't even know that was possible.
This feels like a fake story. But you know, one thing that we can say is that Lisa Vanderpump didn't plant this story.
I wonder who did.
Lucy, apple juicy. She did it.
Ooh, allegedly.
Payback.
I mean, let's keep this moving. Like, Ramona has leaked the All-Stars date. It's meant to be airing later this year in mid-November. It's quite late. I thought they would have done it a bit earlier. I thought it'd be like a summer thing. You know what I mean? Like Northern Hemisphere summer.
Nah, I think they just have so much content and they're like probably saving it for that time that they don't have any content.
It is pretty busy at the moment in terms of Housewives, especially.
In terms of just Bravo, there's like a lot on.
Boring win. She's getting evicted. Well, she didn't pay her rent.
She's being sued and evicted and sued for $45,000 in back rent. I mean, we know that they don't have a job. So this is really fascinating, especially now that she doesn't have housewives. She obviously doesn't have that house anymore and can't cut a deal to have that house. And it's a shame because they literally have 700 children. So,
well, I suspect that she also got the house for the show rather than, you know, she probably could have done something a bit smaller. But anyway.
Well, they do have that apartment and I think they've still got their house in Miami. So who knows? You know what? Perfect time for her to go back to Miami and try to get on that Real Housewives.
Well, did you say Tiffany Moon was suggesting to perhaps she should join New York Housewives because she's originally from New York or something?
No, stay in Dallas. Oh, just random bit of news that we don't have this week, but it's topical. So apparently Tiffany and Deandra are currently the only confirmed Dallas Housewives returning. Not sure if you saw that.
I thought I saw that there was a scene being filmed with Stephanie, Cameron and Brandy.
Could be friends of. Brandy's burner at the stake. they could be friends of, but apparently the only ones like getting their Lone Stars.
Interesting.
So far, those two.
It's out with some Salt Lake City news. Whitney, she did a perm.
On her son. I loved it. She not only did she do a perm, but she gave it highlights. I was really impressed. And her caption on her post talks about like how her son just loves having fun and experimenting with his hair. And I was just like, Whitney, you did a good job. I mean, I didn't know people still wanted perms.
Well, I mean, I feel like that period of time is back in fashion. It's what before period my of time? Time.
I was going to say period of time. The olden days.
The late 80s, early 90s, the mullet's in, the perm is coming back. It's a moment.
Yeah. I mean, you're somebody with naturally curly hair, so wavy. You'll never need to ask for a perm.
But maybe
you have what the people want.
I mean, word on the street is that the menses are getting a perm on their mullets. That's what the footballers are doing. Oh, they're like going
full Jerry curl. Okay. Interesting. I'll be on the lookout.
Yeah. Can you spot a perm? Just this is like completely not on topic, but.
I think I can.
Okay.
That was just, I mean, we've now entered a new level of our friendship. So, you know, they can spot a perm.
And definitely digressing from the pod. Let's get into this week's episodes, Moshi. We have so much to discuss. For some franchises, so little to discuss for others.
Flagships. I will correct you every time you say it.
But this week we have got episode 1, season 6. The ladies of Potomac are back.
Woohoo!
With a vengeance. Honey, can we talk about these confessional looks to begin with?
Woo!
I'm just going to say Dr. Wendy. She is giving me everything.
Everything. And all the things you didn't even know you wanted.
Just stunning.
Karen Huger, the hair journey this woman has been on. Her weave is on point.
I hate to say it. I love Candace's.
Yeah, me too. But Diana, I didn't want to say it. You don't have to say it. You don't have to say it. You can just think it inside. You don't have to say everything that comes to your mind.
I know, but I'm going to, you know, we're going to give her props because it was a beautiful, beautiful gowns. Beautiful gowns.
Beautiful gowns. Beautiful gowns. Okay, Aretha. Oh, and Ashley Darby. I'm glad that, like, she's not wearing wigs and she's back to her natural hair.
Wow.
Her hair is so beautiful, luscious, curly, and you know she's wearing that dress that she's like joking about how she can't get it zipped up yet. But Ashley is glowing. She is stunning. All the women of Potomac are beautiful, but I will say that somebody needs to style Robin.
She was wearing that terrible top.
Whew, it is terrible. That's French for terrible.
Oui. Yeah, I mean, look, there's got to be one, doesn't there?
Well, in this instance, there's two because it's her and the other green-eyed monster. So.
See, I kind of was living for her hair.
Her hair is great, but everything else is not it. But
she knows it and she owns it.
No, I don't think she knows it. I think she actually just refuses to accept it. Anyway.
I mean, look, Moshi, this episode gave me everything that I needed. Like, the production, the editing, like, the shady, like, title cards. Honey, when they introduced Candace and showed hers / Dorothy's home, like, the tea. I mean, it's just truth.
It was truth. It was truth. It was all tea, no shade.
I mean, Karen, her sexy Karen looks.
Yeah, it was like young sexy Karen young, is sexy what it Karen. Said or something. But you know what? I think I said this to you this week. You told me to put some on this pod. True story. Google pictures of like young Karen, like on her, at her wedding to Ray. She looks like Doja Cat, or Doja Cat looks like Karen. 100%. When Doja Cat grows up, she's going to look like Karen Huga. That's a compliment.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just like, it's just, wow, okay.
The way my brain works, honestly. I wasn't
ready for that. could you imagine next week if they're like put down the bottom, it's like Karen Huga, like Doja Cat impersonator or something. Because they've listened to this podcast.
What I want is for Doja Cat to be walking down the street and people to be asking her if she's Karen Huga. Like, that is what I want.
I don't think it's going to happen, but sure. Well, Moshi, like, I think let's just, like, catch up with all these women. Like, they all sort of, like, are bringing us back into their lives
mm-hmm.
after this period of time. You know, for me, Candace, I want to start with her. Her talking about her life as a bonus mum. Was that what she was calling herself, a bonus mum?
Yes.
You know, because her stepchildren.
Her bonus children. That's what she calls them.
Okay, well, that's nice. But I'm going to call them her stepchildren.
Oof, rude.
Living with her and Chris at the moment because of the pandemic. They're spending a lot more time there. So she is definitely involved with a lot more family duties and, you know, looking after the kids and all the rest of it. The kids are interesting. I don't know. I don't think they should be on the show.
Kids are interesting. I don't know. Look, all I'm going to say is that Miss Candy Girl is obviously, you know, she had that fake storyline last year about how she was ready to have kids. And so she's, you know, from the Melissa Gorga school of storyline. So she's got to try and, you know, fatten it up. So she's probably so happy that she could have the kids longer and that their mother agreed to allow them to be on television because they're obviously making some money from it. And, you know, she's going to give us this storyline, you know, she's practicing, you know, her mothering and she's becoming more nurturing. But like, let's be honest, she does not want children. She needs to stop kidding herself and just own it. And it's okay to not want kids.
Yeah, she probably shouldn't have kids.
Look, I think anyone, I mean, I think she'd be okay as a mum if she wanted to be. But it's like this, I just feel like she's obviously trying to change her image still. And just don't use these children. That's all I'm saying. Don't use them because we know who you are.
So you don't think she's changed? You don't think she's learned or grown?
No, she's still a brat. She's forever going to be a spoiled brat.
I mean, we did see in the preview of like the season to come. I mean, I think she was throwing punches.
Not surprised. But you'll just see the way she is wired, somebody will have issues with her. Like, it just goes without saying. She is not a nice person. She, particularly her and Ashley, they will never be firm friends. It's never going to happen. She gets nasty. She goes, when other people go high, she goes extremely low. So
I want to see her bonus children have the feud with her. Put that on the TVs.
Patrizio, no. You are chaotic evil right now. That is not right. Leave the children out of it.
Anyway, so we've decided she's here to stay. She's not going to change. She's going to give us a drama, drama, drama.
But she does.
What about Robert? So we already hate her confessional looks. You know, she's giving us a relatable storyline. We're all fatigued by the pandemic.
Okay, so here's how I feel about Robin. So I think, like, I want to sort of, like, juxtapose this with Candace. Here are two people who have changed their living situations. So Candace went from the house that her mother owned to her and Chris finally buying their million-dollar property. It's like a family home. That's why they're able to have the kids. And then you've got Robin and Juan who, like, in season one, were like bankrupt, like going through a divorce, but having to live together for financial reasons. And then they've moved into those houses and now they're finally back building a house again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, to be honest, this needs to be Robin's last season because her story has come full circle.
Oh, okay.
Her and Juan need to get married and then she's done. That's it. That is her cycle done. She needs to go. No, but
the marriage is not going to happen.
Well, one, because of COVID, and two, because she's going through a depression, obviously, and he is not being supportive. Instead, he's trying to coax her into having another child, which I don't think she wants.
I just felt like we had seen that storyline before. This whole, like, we've already got two children that are like preteen or teen, and let's have the girl. It gave me Melissa Gorga vibes.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's another, I just think, it sounds like Candace and Robin have like pretty similar storylines, but different perspectives. Like, I think this is going to be another season where we just see Robin and Juan's relationship tested.
Which, and I hate to see it tested.
But I'm also, you know, if Robin is really depressed and going through it, my heart breaks for her because we all know last year in particular was the worst. And I mean, for Robin, who is already somebody who I think we can say lacks motivation, for this to have happened is really bad. And I think Juan is so used to her being someone who lacks motivation that he's not really reading the room and seeing the signs that it's potentially deeper than that this time.
I feel like even building a house, it just very Melissa Gorga. Yeah, I'm just gonna like die on that hill, thank you.
No, but all of them, that, like, houses play such an important role in Housewives, right? Buying somewhere to live, like this whole thing of always, like, even if it's in New York, it's like you get a new place in the Hamptons or you get a new apartment. Like, new property is like a huge deal on Housewives. It's a thing.
What about, you know, speaking of new things, building things, Wendy? The way that this is her season, I just have a feeling like the, and you know what? Like, I love the following things about Wendy. One, that she's like now on Team Karen. I love to see it. Like, I'm glad that there's an alliance forming there.
Hang on. But the way that was edited, their little catch up, and Wendy just told Karen that, like, she's like, I don't still trust you, so we'll see.
Yeah, but it's being established.
It's being established. Karen has made an effort, is what I will say.
Oh, Karen, the queen. Anyway, the grand dame.
The grand dame.
But Wendy has come. She, you know what? She's decided that she's going to do something for herself, and she has had the full body makeover.
The works. Yeah, is it like the mummy makeover? Is that what they call it? Or is that just when you do your tummy?
I think that's like mainly a tummy because she's had the titties, she's had the tummy, she's had the booty. Like, yes. The booty, it's suspiciously larger.
Well, she admitted online that she had her BBL, but she said that they edited it out and edited it to say as if she hadn't admitted it.
Well, you know what I have to say to that is that you have to have said certain things on film for them to be even able to use it. So she was being suspicious at some points in her discussion around her plastic surgery, and that's what they've spliced together. So it's on her, girl.
True. What was the name of her event?
The nude illusion. No.
I want to say nude illusion, but it's not nude illusion.
The nude infusion.
Nude interlude.
The nude interlude. I mean, I love this idea of wearing, you know, the shades of nude as well. I may have to stand Wendy this season.
So I'm wondering, will you be having a nude interlude party?
I mean, that just sounds like me of an evening, the nude interlude. You know,
me of an evening.
Nude interlude reminds me of that time between like wearing my pajamas in the morning and then being dressed for work. That is the nude interlude.
Wearing my pajamas in the morning and then putting them back on again to go to bed.
No, I'm not.
All of that time in between is the nude interlude.
I mean, yeah. Look, the way that the cupcakes were little titties.
Oh, they were great. Okay. So the scene where she's got her kids to eat the cupcakes and her and Eddie are like, do you know what the cupcakes are? And they're like, chocolate? It was so good.
Like, Wendy gets it. Like,
she gets it. So how do you feel about Wendy? I mean, I know most of them have never lived in Potomac, but what do you feel about Wendy living like almost in a completely different state? Like, she's not even in Washington.
Well, yeah, I think it does beg the question, what is Potomac? And how do you qualify to be on this show? Yeah, you're right. Like, none of them have really ever lived in Potomac.
Just live in DC, and I guess that's enough, right?
Well, I guess it's because the Potomac is the name of the river. So perhaps it's anywhere that the river flows. Who knows? I'm not an expert on Northeastern American geography.
I thought you were.
I'm sorry to report that I'm not.
Okay. Just checking.
But yes, it was interesting. But I like them all, like, reading her for it. Like,
yeah, I think that she's probably just smart. Like, she's just probably moved somewhere where there's, like, a Nigerian community for her and Eddie. And also, you know, they have a huge house, so.
Oh, Wendy. She looks amazing.
She does look fabulous.
She looks amazing. I loved her, like, TikTok invites.
Oh, that was so good. I wanted to know how people did that. Now I know that it was like a specific filter. I mean, I always knew it was a specific filter, but I was like, where's the filter from? Oh, it's on TikTok. All right, cute.
But she was keeping it like PG because she was wearing like her undergarments. Yes, the Spanx.
Of an evening and undergarments. Sorry.
I mean, and also the black Bill Gates, like, slobbering over her as well.
Oh, that was so funny. Like, Karen, the grand dame Hugo, trying not to let Ray see. But, like, I'm almost like, you know what, Karen? Let Ray be a perv. I think that'll work in your favor.
Literally, right? And, like, I think it's, if you're secure in your relationship, let him bloody watch Wendy do a little TikTok.
Exactly. Dance. Exactly. Because Wendy is very secure with Eddie.
Eddie, what a gentleman. What a beautiful, beautiful
man. I'm so glad you took that hint because, like, I just wanted you to gush about Eddie.
He's handsome. He's nice. I like him. They are the power couple. They are the future of the franchise.
Ooh. The future of the franchise. Could they be the ones to turn it into a flagship?
I mean, look, I'm going to... what I got from the, you know, the to be seen this season is that Wendy is going to be the narrator this season.
Okay, here for it.
I think a lot of the drama is going to unfortunately surround her and her relationship with Eddie, because that's what Giselle's going to be messy about. And I felt vindicated that I saw that in the preview, and that's what I had predicted. But I love this whole, like, it was like kind of like Desperate Housewives, Stepford Wives kind of like feeling, you know, about this whole like upcoming season.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be interesting to see how the season plays out with COVID and how this group of women handle it. But again, they've got a nice number of women. I think when you take a woman out of the mix who was like so divisive and like intense, so, you know, Monique not being part of the group anymore, I think it does give everybody an opportunity to reset, and it does make it easier for, you know, Wendy and Karen to be back on track, and even for things to sort of melt between Candace and Ashley and Robin. I mean, basically everyone except for the Grand Dame and G. So it'll be interesting.
And obviously with one housewife out, we've got a new one in, Mia. First thoughts about Mia. She came in like to the dinner, the nude interlude. Her introduction as the Grand Dame's friend.
I was surprised that she was Karen's friend. I'm impressed because I really didn't do much research. I just think that she is, you know, anytime we have a character come on who is in a marriage where with a man who's like significantly older, and, you know, just the way she was sort of dropping the bombs about her life, like she was like just so open, maybe a little too open. You know, love that she told them all she was a grandma. Love that she couldn't do the maths on the age difference between her and her husband. And love that she told them all that through all of her plastic surgery, she's even had her clit done and four boobs.
What does four boobs mean to you?
I think she means to say that she's had four boob jobs or augmentations. But I was kind of hoping she had
double implants.
Yeah. I was like hoping she had four tits. Like that would be great.
Yeah, I mean, look, the grandma, like, you could tell she was just saying this stuff to
be controversial.
Because she's not really a grandma. Her partner has grandchildren. Like, that does not, that makes you a bonus grandma, okay?
So you say bonus grandma, but you won't say bonus kids. I'm just trying to understand your logic right now. Okay, continue.
Look, there are no rules here. Yeah, it was interesting. Like, definitely the plastic surgery thing. And, like, the way that Wendy was, like, deflecting onto Mia as well. And Mia was just like, let me list the things that I have.
Fillers, my butt, my calf, my pinky toe, like, everything.
And then Wendy just being like, well, I have not had many of those things.
Do you think the women are going to like her?
Look, as Karen explains in the car ride over, Giselle always is going to have an issue with the new hot young thing on the scene. I mean, to be seen if they actually don't get along. Because you know what? Giselle last season, she got along with Wendy, but it's this season that is looking like the cracks are showing.
Yeah.
I think she seems so far to be a good fit. I mean, I think that she does seem a little different from the other women. I think I get maybe more like an Atlanta vibe than a Potomac vibe, perhaps. But you know what? Like, I hope she's fun, and, you know, she's obviously open about her life, and I think that is going to serve her well.
Yeah, I think it's always interesting with the cast when there are like one or two women who have jobs and the others have hobbies or have side hustles or have things that, you know, and, you know, Mia has, she says, her own chain of chiropractic clinics and has like some other businesses. And I think the other thing we've often said about Potomac is like the women have money on a certain level, but they're not out here being like, I'm rich, I'm rich. But I feel like Mia might have real money. So I'm interested to see what that's all about. It's always just interesting when you mix things up a little bit more.
And she did say that as well. Well, Karen said that she has been advised by Mia on, you know, business as well. So that's obviously a bit of a connection there. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I feel like Monique also had real money.
Yeah, Monique had real money, like obviously through Chris and things like that. But, you know, Monique was still different. You know, the thing about Monique is like, even though she had real money, Monique is like very down to earth. Like she's still Monique from the block, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's still a rapper, you know, all those sorts of things. I do just want to quickly touch on Ashley Darby. She's had her second child. She's back still with Michael. Honestly, if they are not separated by the end of the season, I'll be surprised. But what is her storyline going to be? Is she going to be a bit of a Dorit, do we think? Like a bit of filler, just somebody to sort of ad lib things?
I mean, yeah, like I don't think we really got much. I mean, obviously, I think, again, her thing is going to be around like not having sex with her husband. It's going to be the postpartum, you know, experience. Who knows? I mean, she also sort of said at this nude interlude that she is still hasn't resolved anything with Candace. So there's plenty to work with, I think. And she's a good housewife. But
she's a great housewife. That's why I don't want to see her go. But I'm really curious to see what exactly we'll get from her this season. I just feel like the others are kind of bigger characters at this point.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I don't think, not everyone has to be a big character. I'm okay with it. look, let's, the meat of this season is going to be the Giselle and Karen.
Oh, the fiery box versus the grinder.
In the Sing Sing.
In the Sing Sing, which, as I said to Patrizio, is the new clink clink.
Oh, my God. I don't even... Did Karen know what Sing Sing meant when she was saying it?
I think she meant, like, something to do with prison, for sure.
Is Giselle going to prison? Is that, like, what was
the implication? No, I think she was implying that, like, Giselle maybe had a lover who was in prison or something. I mean, here's the thing. The fact that we have all these questions, this is how we know it's going to be good.
I mean, look, Karen, successful in her reading of Giselle.
When she said that she had a fiery box, yes. I don't know why I'm so, I just love it so much. You know what the thing about me is, like, you know that old adage? Yes, I had to say adage. People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
Yes.
Right? It is like just this basic premise of like, if you have skeletons in your closet or if your own house is not clean, like don't go around looking for dust in other people's houses. I've never heard that saying before. I don't know if you have. I may have just made that one up. It's immortalized in the pod now. But Giselle's whole situation is so messy that it astounds me that she has the gall to come for people. Like, I don't get it.
But I think that I think almost she doesn't care. I think I think that she, in her mind, has an idea on her reality that, you know, Karen can say all these things and it's just not the truth. I mean, it was the same, like, I feel like at the reunion last year where, like, Monique, like, laid it out and Giselle was just like, I'm not going to believe any of that because she's a liar, basically, right? Like, she lives in her own fantasy and I think she doesn't really care what people have to say because she thinks that she knows her own truth.
But then she can't ask for apologies off people. Like, I think she literally has no right. Like, what she's saying is that she thinks Karen owes her an apology for the things that she said because it's hurt her children. It's like, you hurt your own children by bringing this man into your life. Your children literally said to you, do not get back together with our father. You caused the mess. Like, she's delusional, Patrizio.
Oh, she is not on the same planet as anyone else.
I'm just making sure that it's not just me, because I am like, I am just like beyond shocked and astounded at like what Giselle thinks she is owed versus what she deserves. Like, I'm miffed.
You're miffed.
Miffed by her.
I don't know how I feel about the fiery box. To me, a fiery, but like a box on fire, isn't that a good thing?
No.
Or is she talking about the chlamydia?
She's talking about your pussy being on fire. It is not a good thing.
The STIs.
The STIs, the everything.
I mean, it was pretty great. Like, do you think that, like, Giselle has anything really on Karen at this point?
Nothing.
She's because she spoke a lot. She spoke about affairs and money, and it was a lot.
At this point, they have nothing on each other. Like, anything that's happened in the past, I feel like Karen's already gotten over it. Like, she's moved on. She's in, like, I feel like Karen is actually in such a good place that Giselle and her, like, west wing of her house can do nothing.
No, not the west wing. The way that we only ever see the west wing. Is there even the rest of the house?
No.
Well, I mean, look, this is clearly going to be the thing. And you know what? It's a great feud. I'm intrigued. Oh, even though it's been going on for six seasons now.
It's a brilliant feud because it's literally just about ego. At least on Giselle's side, it's about ego. And I feel on Karen's side, it's Karen just constantly defending herself. I'm not saying that she's not partly responsible. Like, I think that she could have just let so many things go and it would have been fine. But, okay, one thing that I do want to say that I love about this feud is that for the first time in a really long time, except maybe Sutton, we have two housewives who are just like, I don't like you. And I don't like you, like from episode one on the season. Like, I just think about how much easier life would be if so many other housewives just told each other they didn't like each other.
Yeah, but I think Karen and Giselle have a history together, right? I think it's easier to say it because they've been going through it at least the last six seasons on TV, having had many years of friendship before that as well.
No, but like so much of Housewives is women who hate each other pretending to like each other. But I'm so interested. This is for me, I think, what part of what makes Potomac and what makes it have been such a spectacular franchise in such a short amount of time, right? It's these moments that like they just do the things that the other girls are not willing to do. They go where the other girls are not willing to go. And I'm just like, you know what? Hats off to you. Because normally we just see it in a passive aggressive way, say with like Portia and Kenya. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, eh. But like to literally sit across the table and just be like, I do not like you. I hate you. And I'm coming for you. Like, I love it.
So what's it going to take, Moshi, for this to go from franchise to flagship at this point?
Probably just one more episode.
So coming up this season is the transformation from franchise to flagship.
You know what? It's the fact that it's kept so many OGs for me. I mean, season six, if this season can go into season seven and retain like Giselle, Robin, Karen, Ashley, like that quartet who are OGs, that'll be iconic.
I mean, I think it's already iconic for that reason alone, and I doubt we'll ever have another franchise that will be able to do the same. Yeah, I think it's up there. I think, like, especially as we watch these other flagships devolve in front of our eyes, like, somebody has to take the mantle.
Cool. Well, should we take a break and come back and talk about how our flagships are deflating?
Right before our eyes. Let's do that, Moshi. And we're back, Moshi, hello, to discuss. I mean, Real Housewives of New York, we're up to episode 10, and is the ship sinking?
I know last week there was a lot of conjecture online about people who, like, literally forgot the show was on. And while I never forget the show is on, this was the first week that I forgot I was watching it. While it was on, I, like, just started doing other things. I was like, oh, sorry, I'm supposed to be watching New York.
I am going to say the exact same thing as you. I was, like, seeing it. I wasn't watching it.
I wasn't experiencing it, whereas I think I definitely... And you know what the worst thing is? Coming off the back of such a stellar first episode of Potomac...
Yeah, it was rough.
It was, you know, you want the meat in the sandwich to be good. You know what I mean?
It wasn't great.
And it wasn't great. It was like you gave me some stale cold meats.
Like, I realized that I wasn't watching it when, I don't know if you clocked this, but there was a scene where Sonia drinks Ramona's entire wine glass through her mask.
I only saw that in the memes, and I was like, how did I miss this? This is award-winning TV, but the show is so drab that we missed that.
Honestly, give Sonia Morgan, like...
a lifetime Emmy.
Not even a lifetime Emmy. Give her, like, a medical mystery award. Like, how is that even possible?
Well, I think it says something about her mask being useless. Like, I think, like, if you can drink through your mask, it is not protecting you or anyone around you. it's literally not a mask.
Wow. It was just... Yeah, wow. But
sorry, I'm just thinking of the image. It's so sad that, like, the funny things happen after the show has been on. Yeah.
I know. Because Sonia just gives those great moments.
I think everything that Sonia does is amazing, but she's working with amateurs. Yeah. I think Bashawn tried, but failed.
I mean, we'll get into that in a second. I mean, to be honest, like we said, there was not much to discuss because we both just were not living in the moment while we were watching this show this week. And, you know, they're having this, like, dinner of all the girls. I don't even have details at this point. Like, it's just, like, they had a dinner...
I think we can sort of just talk about the real high level things. You know, like last week, and I was like, so what happened? What were the events? Well, I think, like, just in terms of, like, things that happened that sucked, we found out that Ebony's grandmother passes away while they're on this trip in Salem.
Because Leah starts, like,
fake crying. No tears anywhere. Her and Ramona, so similar.
I was embarrassed for Leah. Like, it was
sobbing was disgusting. But then once they all knew, then, like, they all started doing it, and I was like, guys,
can you, like, please, you all stop? Bar stop. Probably, like, Sonia, you all hate Ebony.
Yeah,
it's the fake, like, compassion for me.
But I think, like, you know, that was really sad to learn. And I just think at this point, the whole episode was just around, like, the women not really being able to stand each other.
Yep.
Like, just Yeah, maybe we should just talk about like the Bashan of it all.
I mean, look, she calls it out, right? She just says, "You're a bunch of boring women."
She called them grandmas.
Well, where is the lie?
I think that everything Bashan said was correct, even when she called Sonia a clown. I don't know why Sonia was offended. She wasn't saying like she's a clown, like she's an idiot. She was like saying she's a clown, like she's somebody who just basically makes those noises that Bashan did say she makes.
I hate that Sonia is going to be feuding with Bashan. Because
I like it because it was like the highlight of the episode.
Yeah, but I think it's just for me, I just can't get over this whole like the way that it's like we have to choose between Ebony and Bashan. And I feel like it's the same thing with this Sonia thing. Like Sonia's friends with Ebony, therefore, like she's going to be offended by what Bashan says. Like, I don't know. I just feel like.
You know what? You're right. It probably does suck, but I think you'll find that it's often like that in real life. You know, there's this really great book that recently just came out called The Other Black Girl. It's like a bit of a psychological thriller. It's a fiction, and it goes the way you didn't think it was going to go, but it kind of talks about, you know, what we're seeing, which is like, you know, a bit of respectability politics. It's like, you know, they're so extreme, so we have to choose which one we like, when it's like, but everybody is different. They're not monolithic. They don't have to be the same. And I think you're right. Like, it's not fun to watch, but I think that's really good. If it's making you feel uncomfortable, it's because this is literally what happens every day to lots of people of color. Constantly pitted against each other, constantly.
Totally, right? Yeah, because the thing is for me, it's like, really, do we have to do this with the first two black women onto this franchise? Like, do we have to do this, that they were so different? I mean, I get that they don't have to be the same, but the way that they've just been pitted against each other, I just, you know.
Look, again, I mean, I agree with you. I think everything you're saying, I think, you know, two things can be true. I think what you're saying is absolutely right. Like, this is not the way this should have happened on the show. It's a shame that it went that way. But at the same time, I'm like, but this is honestly what it's like every day. So maybe we need to see it happen so then people can start having that conversation. So then you can, you know, people can start doing some introspection. And by people, I mean, you know, these women. But, you know, a lot of people called out today the way that they were talking, the way that they all attacked Bashan for like her outbursts, when all of these women say the most insane things to each other all the time. There is nothing that Bashan said that Leah, that Ramona, that Luann, that Sonia haven't said worse.
Oh, Leah gets away with everything. And I think it was even brought up, like the fact that like Leah called them all hoes in the Hamptons. Like, you're a hoe, you're a hoe, you're a hoe. And then all of a sudden everyone is offended by, you know, Bashan, like, you know, calling everyone names as well. Yeah, of course, there's an extreme double standard there.
Yeah, and I think though that's good, because like the conversation now we're having is like, well, why are they being pitted against each other? Because I think we have to ask ourselves, who's doing the pitting? It's the ladies that are doing it. So at the end of the day, for me, I'm like, more of this, because I think it shows them in a bad light, or it shows them as who they really are.
I mean, I don't think we needed this to know who they really were.
No, but I think maybe we did, because then we never would have had these conversations.
But that seems to be like, you know, that seems to be the narrative that is being sold at the moment, is that people don't want to see this play out on TV, on Real Housewives of New York, that this whole discussion around race politics and all the rest of it, the people just want middle-aged women getting drunk and doing stupid shit.
And to that, I say, poo, poo. That's what Madeline would say. I don't care. Good. You know, you don't like it because it's making you feel uncomfortable. And you need to ask yourself, why is it making you feel uncomfortable? And if you're not sure, you need to start reading some books. You know, Ebony has listed them. Go to Ebony. Ebony will tell you which books.
Did you see that, like, there was a suggestion that Ebony really sees herself as the future of the flagship, right? She sees herself as the future of the flagship, and that's...
sinking flagship. Do you see what I did there? Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
I mean, imagine making yourself the lead of the sinking flagship.
No, but I mean, I think she sees herself as this is the future of the show. And I agree with that because the show shouldn't be about, it's the 21st century, like sort of middle-aged divorcee, white divorcees is not fun about the show. Like it should be about young, successful women in New York. Like that's the vibe, right? And... yeah, that's what Leah is supposed to represent. That's what Ebony is actually supposed to represent. And it should represent like the whole microcosm of what New York actually is. Like we should really be looking at a rainbow cast when we're talking about New York, and we're not. Like we know everything there is to know, I'm sorry, about middle-class white divorcees at this point. Or not middle-class, Upper East Side. You know, we know it all, Patrizia. There's nothing more they can teach us. If I really need to see like Ramona's poop on like a bathroom floor again, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen it every season. The moment we start going into that territory, I'm like, you know, it's the depends now. We don't need that. If they want that, I think they need to make a whole new show, which is like the new Golden Girls. Just give Ramona her show in Florida with her girlfriends. You know, just do it.
The way that she always manages to poop on the floor, though.
On the floor. I don't, like, that's not interesting television to me at this point.
I mean, it's interesting to me in, like, the demise of Ramona Singer. You know what I mean?
So can I tell you, that is not a fun thing to watch. It's not fun to watch somebody like ailing and like regressing. That's not fun to watch.
It's interesting.
It's not interesting. Like literally go to a nursing home. If you want to watch that shit, go to a nursing home.
Shit, literally.
Literally.
You know, before you were like, if you like, we're done watching like Upper East Side white women like aging on TV. You know what? I immediately thought, and I like you spoke too quickly for me to like cut in, and I was just like, death to all.
Wendy Williams.
Put Wendy on the show, honestly.
Wendy would eat these women up. She would eat them up. Clap if you can. You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine, next time we are at dinner with people that we know, can we, when somebody tells us something about themselves, can we just say clap if you can and see who gets it?
I mean, imagine Wendy Williams just at a dinner with like Ramona, and Ramona is like doing her thing, and then Wendy's just like, clap if you care.
Clap if you care. With Wendy, just be like, clap if you've dated Tom. Like, yeah, clap if you care. But like, death to them all.
Literally, at this point, I think it's death to all of them.
Death to all of them. It's the, oh my god, did I say that? Yeah, you did, Andy.
Yeah, I'm saying it about Roni, I think, at this point.
I want to see Sonia on the Wendy show. That's what I, that's the conversation I want to see.
I mean, if anyone's going to get the truth about Sonia Morgan, it's going to be Wendy.
Clap if you care.
Moshi, I mean, is there really anything more to discuss about Roni other than the state? The state of play right now is literally like the shit on Ramona's floor. Like, that is where we're at.
That is 100% where we're at. Yeah. The state of play.
Well, let's just keep going. Let's move right along to Beverly Hills, episode 9 of season 11. And, I mean, the meat of the episode is Erica. We will get there, but there are some things that we need to get through before we do. Obviously, we're at the Bolognese party. And you know, we've had the accusation that there is jealousy of leather pants. Yep, perhaps they're not leather, they are pleather.
Leather. The crystal has ugly leather pants.
I mean, I think the only person really offended by that statement was Kyle Richards.
Correct.
And potentially also Kathy Hilton. Kathy Hilton also says she did like those leather pants.
Can I just tell you? Kathy is like acting really concerned, like when they all flocked to Sutton on the back porch, and then you just see Kathy just go back and rewatch it and just see like Kathy popping her head in and her face is like so concerned. I'm like, Kathy has no idea what the fuck is going on.
I mean, is Kathy concerned or is her face just Botoxed into that position?
No, Kathy Hilton doesn't do Botox. No, I think Kathy is more just like, who has ruined the fun? You know, this is my dream. Totally. She started all of this.
She totally did.
She lit the match.
So. She identified the Thomasina.
Thomasina.
You know what? I think there were some good things that came out of Sutton in this section. I think one, she admits that the gifting is what threw her over the edge. I think we, you know, last week we kind of speculated on that, yes, you know, because Sutton is the gifter and that's definitely, you know, triggered her in this and moment. She's
such good friends with Garcelle as well, right?
Very close together. And, you know, I like that Sutton was also just like, this is not like what I wanted. This is not how I should have acted. I'm in the wrong here. I really like that as well. I think she is, you know, for everything, you know, the way that Sutton, I guess, is being edited, because I don't want to say it's like 100% her. Yeah. She is aware. Like she's seeing a therapist or two, and like she definitely knows what's going on and, you know, is aware of her behavior and what's triggering her and, you know, all the rest of it. So I think I really love to see that.
Me too. Growth.
Right. And, you know, I think there's clearly still tension between Crystal and Sutton, even though that they've sort of agreed to let bygones be bygones at this point. And, you know, that Sutton was able to say that, you know, the thing that really upset her the most was, you know, being called manic because her father obviously dealt with, you know, mental health issues. And, you know, I think she didn't want to be lumped in that same, you know, boat as her father. And I think, you know, the inference there.
Inference, I love it.
But you know what I didn't like about Crystal? It was the unwillingness to sort of like apologize.
She's got Scorpio placements. She has to.
Because I hear her sometimes, you know what? Like, you shouldn't just give the apology, like, unless it's deserved. But I think in that moment, Sutton was being vulnerable with her. I think Sutton, like, to help move the group along, I think Crystal needed to come to the table a little bit more than what she was.
Oh, 100%. She did not give. She gave a non-apology apology.
And that's what these women do best. But she just needed to be a little bit more, you know, giving with her apology, I think.
Total agreement from me.
But, and then later on in this episode, we see Sutton finally bring in her family, right? Because that was the thing that we missed last season. She wasn't able to show any of her family life. Finally get to meet her daughter, Porter. And I think the only reason why we're meeting her is because she's 18 years old and obviously is able to make her own decisions about whether she wants to be on the show or not.
Good pickup, Patty. Good pickup.
Right? I mean, that, I feel like that was established because we even got this, like, outtake from last season where Porter was at, like, the finale party but obviously wasn't able to be shown on film. But they can now use it now that she's given her permission. Her approval and her permission, right? And it was great. It was great to see Sutton in a different light and I finally see her in a family environment. And
it changes. I mean, I have been saying that Sutton has really grown on me this season. For all her little idiosyncrasies and faults, there is something that I do really love about her. And I think, like, getting to see her in the role of mum, it just, it was lovely because I think we were just sort of seeing a side of her that is like very like vapid maybe and wasn't making any sense to us. And I think not that not being a mum doesn't give you substance, but she was just so much lighter and she was so proud of her daughter. And I saw that and I was like, you know, I know that like you've gone through this shitty divorce and I could see how devoted you have been to your family for all of these years, right? Like all of these things. And yeah, I don't know. It was just really nice. It was also interesting to see her subtly, I think, infer, to borrow a word from you, talk of it, like juxtapose her daughter to like Lisa Rinna's kids.
Oh, and like the way that like she was like, yeah, let's get our kids together. And she was also like, that's not happening.
Not happening at all. But Sutton's daughter, Porter, what an interesting young woman. Basically Sutton with black hair. The eyes, like the fact that she has Sutton's eyes, I never realized how striking Sutton's eyes were until I saw them on her daughter's face. That black hair. I was like, whoa.
Let's get Sutton. I mean, I say it as if we can do this. Let's get Sutton in a black wig.
Wig. I'm with you, Patrizia. I will sign that petition.
I want it to be like a black bob. And I want it to come with this, like a really saucy, like, alter ego.
Patrizia,
like
after dark.
The Sutton Jane. You know what I mean?
Yes. Like, we do need the Sutton Jane.
She's a what a painkiller. What is it? What's that song?
It is painkiller. She's a gimlet. It's
expensive to be Sutton.
It is. But yeah, I think Sutton definitely needs an alter ego for sure.
And with the black hair, I just would love to see it.
Yeah. Oh, I was gonna say we'll talk about it later. Or we won't talk about it at all. I was going to say, it was just when we get to the COVID bit, it was interesting to see Sutton without her makeup on. I know there was some tweets this week that were really quite mean, I think, about Sutton's appearance, but sort of inferred that she had had, you know, substantial plastic surgery. And I'm going to say that she hasn't.
Look, I mean, she's seen a plastic surgeon for sure. Whether that's for, you know, injectables or, you know, whether she's had some other work done to improve what she's got. But I think for the most part, she is very similar to what she was before. But her style has completely changed.
Oh, yeah.
Her hair has completely changed. And, I mean, that's the thing with a lot of, you know, these celebrities that, you know, people are like, oh, bullshit. Like, they didn't actually get – they've had plastic surgery. You know, it's, I think about the Kylie Jenners and the Kendalls and like, yes, of course they've had surgery, but then there's also just like, they've also just aged. Right.
Yeah. They've changed. There's, they've gotten older.
And it's the 100%. Same started. If you're going to like show a photo of her from like 15 years ago, of course she's going to look different today. you know, when she's at a different part of her life now, you know, a different era. It's a different era.
Yeah, different era.
But you mentioned the COVIDs, and we find out that after the Bolognese party, that Kyle, Kathy, and Dorit have all been diagnosed with COVID.
Tested positive. Not fucking diagnosed. Oh my god. Oh my god. I love you.
And everyone is put into the quarantine.
Yeah, I think they all had it. I think they obviously got it from Lisa Rinna. Sorry, that's like they got it from their house.
No, well, I mean, look, it could be it's not a blame game, okay?
Yes, it is.
The contact trace, but the thing is that they would have all have been tested, so. I don't believe that they've all had it. I mean, we're talking about a different time period. They don't have the Delta variant. They've got like, you know, they could have had the OG infection, which is, we know, not as transmissible.
But you can also be asymptomatic. You know,
but they would have been tested because they're on the show. Like, they would not have been able to shoot without having had tests.
I'm 100% telling you some of them had already had it.
You're saying that they already had it, but were exposed to Kyle Richards, because I'm going to call her the super spreader. That's my opinion.
You were just saying we're not playing the blame game, and you're just like,
well,
I'm calling, you're like, in my opinion, Kyle Richards is the super spreader. Wow.
Well, wow. You know what I think it is? Her daughter came back from school into the home, and I'm just putting the dots together at this point.
Yeah, your dots are all over the place. I don't particularly know if I believe that.
I mean, also, it was America in November. I don't think it was a great situation. They could have gotten it anywhere, really.
True.
But they've all having to quarantine, obviously. And even afterwards, they're not able to, like, completely shoot together. Like, I don't know. There was a bit of, like, a Romeo and Juliet situation between Kyle and Garcelle.
Rapunzel, let down your hair. Rapunzel, Garcelle wore her birthday top that she'd gotten from Erica, I think, and Lisa Rinna. And was it a top? I don't know.
I just think it was weird that, like, Kyle and Garcelle are friends now. It makes me uncomfortable.
I think they're not BFFs, but I think that they have common ground. And to be honest, like, the thing about Kyle is when you are in her good books, she is cool to be around. Like, she is fun to be around, you know. When she doesn't like you, forget about it.
Well,
Kyle... And I also was going to say, I think Kathy has mellowed her out and made her seem so much better than she actually is.
You're saying Kathy has mellowed Kyle out?
Yep. She's made Kyle more interesting.
Well, on that, I mean, Kyle's finally allowed out of COVID jail, and... goes to visit
COVID jail, her multi-million dollar gigantic home.
The whole multi-million dollar home while her family has gone on vacation while she quarantines.
Which I thought was amazing.
I mean, I had questions around why they were not all having to isolate also and get tested. But anyway.
Well, they obviously did and they were negative.
Yeah,
or perhaps where Kyle had gotten it from is not the Bolognese party. She'd gotten it somewhere else and they weren't around.
Well, but that then implies that her and Dorit are hanging out. And
which they are.
Are they, though?
We know they are.
Are they friends?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well,
they go on holidays together, Patricia.
Okay. Well, anyway, they go to Kyle goes to Kathy Hilton's house, and we find Kathy... howling for her dog across the balcony. I mean, I look, Kathy Hilton. Just what a character.
Just sitting in her leggings howling at her little dog. I loved it.
I just, it's so interesting, isn't it? And you know what? The
okay with.
But it was
the weird dolls in her Christmas wreaths
that I really was like, this woman is actually unhinged. Like, there is something, like...
I don't know, it was...
And Kyle was like, I hate these dolls. And she's like, I love
it's them. Vintage. She's kooky. And she's spooky. And I love it. It's not the Addams Family. It's Kathy Hilton.
Like, what were the wreaths for? Like
Christmas.
But she says, I felt like she was
her
like...
Her collection.
Her new line.
Yeah. I have no idea. She has like her what own
these, are we?
Home shopping network situation, and it's just her 24 hours selling you these things she comes up with.
I mean, it was interesting.
I want one.
Okay.
I want one with one of the teddy bears or whatever she finds. Because she was like, you know, I just find this and I find this. And I was just like, I want a Kathy Hilton wreath. Like, you've got me. I'm hooked.
Kathy Hilton, ladies and gentlemen.
Design choices were made and executed on. It's upcycling, Patrizio. She's a sustainability queen. Like...
Anyway, let's get into the real reason why.
Meat and the potatoes.
I mean, this is the week, right? Erica, it is revealed that Tom Girardi has allegedly been defrauding people. And, you know, that Erica has been implicated in that crime as well. And it kind of comes out during this time where they're all in quarantine as well. So Erica is obviously quite alone in this moment, and she speaks about, you know, people close to her that have left her. Like, they're not friends anymore. They're not... Who was she referring to? I thought immediately to her glam squad.
No, I think she just meant, like, in general. Obviously not people who are on the show, but I think they had... She'd obviously had, like, some... group of acquaintances, because they obviously were never really her friends, but I guess there were maybe people that she had reached out to for support, or perhaps people in the legal industry or other people who were connected to her, and they just don't want to have anything to do with her. Like, she seems really, really alone. Like, to be fair, I feel like that might be her own doing. She's never struck me as somebody who has friends, so...
No, she's always been like, I don't know, she, even the way she refers to this group of women as her friends, I'm just like, if they're your friends, I don't think you really understand like what true friendship is. Like, they're Hollywood friends. It's different. You know?
You're paid to be friends, you know, so it's, yeah, it is different. But I mean, look, break it down for us. Like, what more is there with this? Like, I think the idea now that people are questioning, this is a thing for us. This is what we were going through watching all of this. We were the ones also saying that she divorced Tom and she's totally hiding the money. And I guess the idea at the end of the day is the point of this season was like, are we swayed? Do we feel like she really is opening up and that she's being genuine and that she's giving us the truth? Do we still feel like she's performing? Do we think that she did divorce Tom so that they could hide the money? Or do we really believe that Tom duped her for all of these years?
I mean, I don't want to say I was swayed, because I am not, but she did present some, I don't even want to say facts, some opinions, some experiences, which made me question some things for sure. You know, I think I do believe that, you know, that Tom told her not to be involved in the finances.
Oh, yeah.
And all the rest of it. But I think at the same time, I think that you can have an awareness of where the money is coming from that's financing your operations. And I think you can have a sense of when that money starts to dry up. I think that you know, she's not trying to hide assets. I think it was, I mean, again, this is like just my thoughts. This is just how I feel, that she was trying to have a clean break from Tom before any of this came out. So in terms of hiding assets, no, I think she was just trying to get her 50% before anyone could come after her, which unfortunately hasn't happened. And she's, you know, that this is the ultimate problem, that she didn't execute on the divorce fast enough, and now she's stuck in the litigations. It's tough. I don't know. Like, should she be named in these cases? Look, like, probably not, but that's how it works when you're married to the person that's doing all these things, allegedly.
Allegedly. Well, she was married to him, but yes, he was allegedly doing those things. I agree with everything you just said. I think for me, the thing though that is just annoying is that there is also a performance that we're seeing. So do I think that she was in a marriage that had drifted apart and that she was iced out by Tom and that he was controlling? Of course, I believe all those things. But I do also think that, like, to some degree, she was okay with that until, like you said, she knew that shit was coming and she wanted a clean break. But for me, there is a very performative side of what's going on. And the number one performative aspect of this is the fact that she's not wearing waterproof mascara. When you are telling us and you know that you are vulnerable, that you are going to cry at the drop of a hat, that you are super emotional, you are stressed, like, you want us to see your tears. And this is where, like, Leah could have learned a thing or two, and Ramona. If you're going to cry on camera, you need to be wearing the waterproof mascara, because then we can see your tears.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, Moshi. That would require Leah and Ramona to still actually have
tears. I know, but it's like they could try. Like, those, like, the thing about Erica is that she is willing to go to the great lengths to give us a show as well. And I appreciate that. But I was just like, there are some aspects where I'm just like, we get it. We know you're crying. We believe you. Because I think the other thing that hasn't worked in Erica's favor is that she has played the ice queen and worn it as a badge of pride. And so our perception of her is that she, you know, to see Erica cry is like insane for us. We've never seen her expel even a morsel of that type of emotion ever. And so she's gone from 0 to 100 with the emotions. So, you know, I appreciated it that she went that extra length to get the mascara leaking.
Firstly, I'm going to say that we have seen her be this emotional once before.
Oh God, okay.
That was when Eileen brought up her son.
Oh, true.
In Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
She was like fuming and was like, you keep my son's name out of your mouth.
Different kind of emotional though. That was like anger. This is like my life is over crying, you know?
Yeah, I know, but I think that wasn't the Ice Queen. That was like a real moment of emotion, and it was that break from that normal personality that she does have. So I will say that. But to my earlier point, you know, when she talks about the people around her who don't want to be with her because she hasn't got the money anymore, I mean, was this the glam squad, and did they take the waterproof mascara with them? Like,
I think Mikey, Nikki, whatever his name is, I think he will be back. I don't think he would leave her in the lurch. He's benefited from this relationship.
Yeah, but
she's not performing, so it is, you know.
Well, she's performing on national television.
Oh, on national TV. True. Erica Jane doesn't exist though.
But this is the thing, like, is Mikey in the scene? I have a feeling that he is one of the people that she is talking about. And she's had to go to the service station or the drugstore and collect some mascara, and honey doesn't know what she's buying, and she's bought the one that's gonna leak.
It is what it is. But I mean, I will say that I have gotten more from Erica than I thought we were going to get. I am really surprised, and it is heartbreaking to watch this happen. I am completely empathetic. However, there is a side of me that has to remember that this latest lawsuit, as she talks about, is not the first time she's been implicated in one of Tom's lawsuits. And we already know that prior to this Lion Air crash lawsuit, which is what happens on the show, he was already being sued or under investigation for committing a similar type of crime from another vulnerable person. So I think that, like, she knows that he has it in him to be this ruthless. And I think if you stay with somebody kind of knowing that they have the ability to be this ruthless on some level, if you're willing to stay with somebody knowing that they could do this stuff because it benefits you, that is something that you're responsible for.
And having said that, though, I think the other part of this is, and she kind of touched on it a little bit, you know, talking about how Tom's attitude towards her changed. You know, he stopped, he didn't hug her back. He would, you know, behind closed doors, even though he appeared to be supportive of Chicago, he kind of, you know, would pull her down. You know, I guess a bit of tall poppy syndrome here, would cut her down over the Chicago role and all the rest of it. And I think it's to be seen next week. But, you know, if he genuinely has dementia or any form of dementia, personality change is a part of that.
Yeah, it's a huge part of it.
And, you know, people who have been, you know, kind-natured people all their lives can suddenly turn really aggressive and violent. You know, there's a complete personality switch for some of them. So, yeah. You know, it's there are so many that, you know,
very empathetic towards, you know, her feeling that her partner of so many years
went cold on her. But, like, is that because of other reasons that perhaps she didn't have a full awareness of? Because I think that's the other thing with dementia, is that you don't know it until it's kind of too late almost. Like, the personality has changed, they've forgotten things, and next minute you found out that they're wandering the streets because they got lost and didn't remember where they were. So, I don't know. There's just so much going on here. And, yeah, is she performing? Is she putting it on? You're like, you're surprised at how much we've gotten. But, again, as we keep saying, like, really, she could have just told us one thing and it would have been 100% improvement on what she brings to the show and exposes about her own life. So, like, I don't know.
I think the one thing, though, that we can say is that on camera she did say that she has nothing to do with it, which is interesting.
Which I think is probably true. I don't think she was involved in a lot of it. But, you know, you're married to Tom Girardi, and that's...
But it's just that thing of, like, what have you turned a blind eye to, you know? And it's more about the moral side of it as opposed to, like, what you've actually done, which just sucks because your morals aren't what you should be judged on in court, you know, but, like, us here in the peanut gallery, you know, these are the things that we often punish people for. It's what we do. It's our nature. It's not our nature. It's how we've been socialized.
I feel like there was another housewife that's come out in support of Erica Jane, and it's really killing me that I can't remember who it is, because they also had a husband who was doing illegal things and they didn't know.
Teresa Chutner. Honestly, it could be any housewife.
No, who was it? It was somebody, I feel like, from the East Coast that had a husband that was doing some shady dealings, and, you know, they were like,
no,
God, Moshi, before we get sued, I'm going to cease and desist you.
Okay, cease and desist me. I'm interested. Oh, I think it was it Carlton?
No, I'm sure it was an East Coast wife. I'll have to.
Oh, East Coast. You said East Coast.
Imagine we've come to the end of another.
Oh my gosh. Loved it. Loved this week's conversation. It's nice to have three housewife shows to chat about again.
Yes. The Potomac's back. There was that one in the middle and Beverly Hills at the end.
Wow, that was so specific. I was not expecting that. Well, anyway, I hope you're going to be okay as we get through this, like, 5-day lockdown in Victoria. Thank God we're just going to be in the lower level, just, like, doing nothing.
I mean, look, if the end of this podcast is anything to go by, like, Jesus take the wheel, as Phaedra would say.
Bring back Phaedra.
I think she's had her time. But anyway, rate, review, and subscribe.
So yes, please.
5 stars so we don't have our time come to an end.
Yes, so that this sinking ship doesn't drown.
And we'll be back next week with all of our favorite Real Housewives.
And the word on the street. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.